touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team.
Rams Nation, welcome back. This is your host, Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. This is the Tuesday edition of Locked On Rams, and I just mentioned Rams Podcast. Well, I got my man, the myth, the legend from Rams Podcast, James Kroger, with me. James, welcome back, bud. How you doing? My original co-host still kicking around and with me, so I appreciate that. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great, Bear. Thanks for having me on once again. I love being here, and we got some news to talk about, and I'm excited to do so.
Yeah, you know, it's been a while since we got to kick it around here on the podcast and go back and forth, so obviously plenty of action and things happening. Things cracked off a little bit today with some news. We have the signing of Dominic Easley. They've been in contract negotiations. They finally got it done. It's a one-year deal. James, do you know anything else? Did the details come out of that, or what do you got?
Yeah, so basically, the hit for the Rams would be $850,000, must be nice, which is his $705,000 base plus his $145,000 roster bonus before the season starts. Everybody gets one of those. So the previous amount, the other $2 million, is incentives classified as not likely to be earned because he missed all of last year. For those of you guys that don't know, again, he did suffer a torn ACL in training camp last year, forcing the team to put him on shelf before the whole season began, the most exciting season for the Rams in a long time. That was actually his third torn ACL, which dates back to his days in college, Bear. So three times. I know Todd Gurley's got two under his belt. That must be rough to go through.
Yeah, and oh man, he's just so curious about how you can rebound. Obviously, the year before that, before he signed the one-year $1.8 million deal before the 2017 season, he had a great year. You know, he had, I think, 3.5 sacks. He had a good amount of tackles, pass deflect. He was kind of all over the place and really turned it on and was what we thought was going to be a big part of that D-line for this past season, but obviously the injury. So I'm excited to see, one, you know, how he can come back. He's been recovering. It's not one of these ACLs like Carson Wentz where he suffered it late in the season, or Richard Sherman where he injured his Achilles late in the season. He's been, you know, he's had a full year of rehab, hopefully being able to get strong, and kind of curious to see what it's going to be like for him. And is he going to end up going down, you know, that Derrick Rose path of just always being injured, or is it kind of, you know, he's going to come out and hopefully get a couple years in a row where, you know, he can stay healthy?
Yeah, and I think he will. I mean, he just turned 26 in February, so fifth season in the league. He's actually only played in 38 games and started three of those. And yeah, just you mentioned 2016. That was the only year he played the full slate. So yeah, it's, you know, he's still young, but he's got a little bit of experience in the NFL, and he's still got plenty of time to see what he can do.
Well, it's crazy. You say how young he is there, and the rest of his body and the amount of games that he's played should be relatively healthy and young and's got some energy left in it. So curious to kind of see how that transitions and how we fit him in to that D line. Obviously, we got Brockers and Aaron Donald. And then, you know, kind of transitioning this point is there's a lot of news going around that kind of broke late last night and early this morning about Ndamukong Suh making a visit out here to the Rams as a possible suitor of, you know, coming off the free agent market. So kind of curious on your thoughts about what you think of Suh and how you think that visit can go. It sounds like he's visited a couple other teams. I think it was the Titans and the Saints so far. I think he went up to Seattle. He hasn't talked money with anybody. He wants to learn more about the team and the environment and what they expect to, you know, on defense. But what do you think the Rams can pitch him, and what are your thoughts on Suh joining the Rams?
So for what the Rams can pitch him, you know, right now about $25 million in cap space to work with, excluding the massive extension that our boy AD is about to get. So we got to keep that in mind. But, you know, some of the teams you talked about besides the Saints, it's like, you know, you look at the Seahawks versus the Rams, who is going to more likely to have a winning season combined with all the moves that we've done so far. It's funny. I saw Johnny Hecker on Twitter said, you know, he tagged him and said, hey, please come and play for our team. Love the punter. I also saw that Marcus Peters put something up on social media as well, kind of hinting towards him you know, really setting the stamp of approval with dominance on this Rams defense, with the potential with Donald and Brockers and Tlaib and Peters now and LaMarcus Joyner. So it would be just a nightmare for quarterbacks. Just to give you guys some information, he was the fifth best interior defender in the NFL last season, according to Pro Football Focus, who we reference both on Rams Podcast and on Locked On Rams Plenty, earning a grade of 91.0. The second best of his career. Since 2012, he hasn't had a grade below 86.1, proving to be one of the most consistent defensive linemen in football. So how exciting does that sound?
Yeah, I mean, just hearing the lineup, I saw someone else kind of tweet out, I may have even been from Rams Wire, saying, you know, kind of adding all the additions of Peters and Tlaib and, you know, then Donald and Sue up front. And he was like, basically, you could put me and some random guy from Section 12 into linebacker and have a top five defense. So obviously we still got a lot of needs to fill on that defense as far as linebacker, and you know, it's another guy that can rush the quarterback, and really that interior linebacker that can stop, and maybe even that nose tackle. And that's the talk, is where do you put Sue, right? You know, he kind of fits that Aaron Donald mold of, you know, you want him to get to the quarterback. He's been kind of known more for his pass rush ability. He's gotten better in the past few years of stopping the run, and I think he still has, you know, a great ability to do that as well. But do you put him on the corner? Do you put him, move him into nose tackle sometimes? And I think he'll end up on the edge on the opposite of Donald. But there's lots of questions on how he'll fit in, and will he be willing to take a little bit less money? Because I think, you know, teams like the Titans or the Saints are going to be able to kick him some more dollars. But does he want to come in and fit, you know, basically walk in the room and say, hey, here's the players we got on our team. I'm going to leave you in the room with that, and we'll be back, and we can sign that contract when you realize this is the most,
right,
you know, no-brainer decision.
And as far as where he fits, it's funny. He's, you know, he's been playing a 4-3 in the past few years, and now he's probably going to be moving to a 3-4, which is different. But I was just looking at some articles that people had posted about how he's been utilized in multiple positions over the past couple of years. He has been used as that one, that nose tackle, and on the edge as well. So, you know, this team is like an adjusting amoeba, and you know, we're going to find a place for somebody like that. And I think the second biggest answer to that question in general is, you know, do you want to be coached by Wade Phillips?
Yeah, and can you just, you know, talk more about amoebas? You know, why not? Anytime that you can get an amoeba reference in a Rams, Locked On Rams or Rams podcast, you got to feel pretty good about where you're going right now. So dynamite drop.
That's my
there.
Word of the day.
Word of the day. Cross it off the list. You made it in.
Rip off the dictionary. Yeah.
Yeah. But I get what you're saying. You know, I mean, and that's what's been so great about the players that Wade Phillips has brought in on this defense is, you're right, they can adjust and move all across the defense. And we've got linebackers that can cover, and we've got, you know, safeties that can play corner and vice versa. And a lot of guys that fill in if need be, whether injury or you know, just kind of rotating players in different packages. But I kind of want to ask you really quick, because you know, the Rams now, if this Sue addition happens, and we're still, you know, maybe ways away, and who knows, maybe they have this great conversation, and the goal is don't let him leave L.A. without signing a contract, right? Because you let a guy leave and let him take on offers, and he forgets how great that meeting was. I don't know if that's how it'll go tomorrow, but if it does, looking at the personality traits that we've brought in, and there was talks about Peters and Tlaib in his career, and then, you know, obviously Sue's had his fair run-in with the NFL and, you know, stepping on quarterbacks and, you know, hitting people in the throat and ripping at helmets and whatnot. And so on the field, not so much off the field issues, but on the field, he's kind of been known as one of the dirtiest players. Is that kind of, you know, raise any red flags for you, bringing in now a third guy that may have some off the field? Or do you think that just with Wade Phillips and Sean McVay and what they've built here, that they're capable of bringing in anybody and making it work?
Exactly. I think they're at this point, they're capable of bringing in anybody. And Sue, he's not that young. He's been in the league for a little bit. So, you know, I think he's matured, and we have a few guys that are coming into this team, you know, knowing that we're not dinking around over here. We're not here to cause trouble. We have very much potential to get to Super Bowl territory. And, you know, a lot of these guys, I think, coming in, see the maturity with somebody like Wade Phillips handling the defense. And they know what Sean McVay is all about. You know, they know he's an offensive superpower, a genius. And they know that he's not dinking around with anything and how strict he's going to be. Even though he's super young, they're going to have to, you know, not to have that sort of attitude coming to this team. So I don't believe, not buying it at all. I think, you know, this is still going to have great synergy with everybody. And not too concerned about it.
So James is selling on the drama.
It's no drama.
Well, I hope that's right. And I hope it's an opportunity that we can look into or at least be contested for, because obviously he's not going to come out here and visit unless he's at least thinking in there. But there's, like I mentioned, three other teams. Seahawks need to replace Richardson that they let walk earlier. Couldn't get a contract done, so they've got a hole there that they have on the defensive line. Saints have Drew Brees as their selling point and going to the playoffs. Titans, a very young team. They've added a couple players on that defense as well as that offense, and they made a playoff run last year with that, so adding to the strength there. It really depends on if LA is something he's interested in and is he okay not being the guy, because if you're coming to join Aaron Donald on this front line, you're kind of a 1-2 combo, but Aaron Donald's the dude out here. So I'm wondering how that plays into it. Does he want to go be the guy, or is he okay kind of joining in that we, not me? We'll find out when a contract gets done, or if one gets done. I think that would be your answer there. But I'm kind of with you. If he signed in, he knows what he's getting into, because obviously when they're having those talks, they're pitching about, one, what their defense is and how he could fit in and what they see him being a part of this team. But also, it's, I don't want to say a counter interview, but they're also saying, listen, if you're going to come, this is how we do things around here. So I think that will be laid out.
Absolutely. And, you know, he has been that guy. I think he didn't have a pretty huge contract, you know, a few years ago. And he's been kind of that top guy on the defensive team. And I think he knows now that, you know, AD is on the king of that hill when it comes to LA. So I think he's going to have to sacrifice, you know, some of the money situations or being that guy in order to be on this team.
Well, speaking of sacrifice and sacrificing money to be on the team, Tavon Austin and that whole restructure, we haven't really talked since that went down. I know we've been kicking around this whole Tay Austin stuff, and we were basically like, if you can't get him signed for $5, see you later, get off the team, save whatever we can, move forward and find a guy that can run a route, right? You know, he's very good on this. Oh, he's good for the trick reversal or the scheme, you know, bubble screen back in the Jeff Fisher days, or, you know, we used him in the punt return for a while, but then he kind of, you know, muffed his way out of that one. Thoughts on Tay Austin sticking around, and any more details yet on that contract and what they're doing there?
Yeah, so the reason they're able to work this contract out is essentially that they're moving, and this is the genius of Les Snead right now, he's moving $2 million of that money into in-game active incentives and $1 million in combined rush/receiving yards from 400 to 700 yards. It doesn't say specifically how many games or snaps he has to play in order to get that $2 million in game day incentives. So I think we're still waiting on more specifics of it, but, you know, that's basically why they're able to make that $8 million, you know, sort of disappear into $5 million.
So basically, if we cut him, we would have saved $3 million, but they found a way to restructure it, put in incentives, still save the $3 million, but keep a guy who everyone still, although has doubts, still has this, well, he can still maybe do this as a decoy, or occasionally we can give it to him on an end around, or you know, maybe we can work him back into special teams somehow. Or we can just let him and McVay work together a little bit more. We talked about Sammy needing more time. Maybe, you know, get some more time in a full off season with Tavon Austin and Sean McVay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can get better at running routes, and he can find somewhere in the slot as we kind of maybe move some of our wide receivers around to fill that Sammy Watkins role. We're going to need to fill those snaps. So, you know, I saw Alden Gonzalez put up an article about, you know, we've got close to 800 offensive snaps to replace with Sammy Watkins gone. So, obviously, you know, we've talked about, you know, Reynolds and Mike Thomas and you know, and maybe there's Tavon getting in there and getting some more snaps. So definitely something to keep an eye on. And it's like kills me because I was so ready to be done with him and not have to deal with it and not have to.
I think a lot of people were.
But at the same time, you're kind of like, all right, you know, I'm believing in the process and I got to support what we're doing. And, you know, they've got an idea of where they're going with this. And hopefully we can just see some production. And hopefully he's now incentivized, like you talked about many of times, where you've referenced a couple stories where it was on, I don't know, was it Hard Knocks, where he kind of showed, or it was just maybe even some press from last year where he had showed Sammy Watkins his his paycheck, and he was like,
"Yeah, it was the local news show. I forgot the name of the Rams local news show, but I was watching tons of content. Yeah, I saw that, and it was just ridiculous.
Yeah, he showed his paycheck, so now he's got to go out, and that huge paycheck isn't really guaranteed to be that big. He's got to go out and, you know, increase it in his own value. So maybe that puts a little fire under his ass, and he gets out there and starts running some routes."
Yeah, exactly. Like you, I think you tweeted it. This is a show me, don't tell me contract. You know, basically prove yourself and this is the genius of Snead. I mean, this is amazing to kind of satisfy everybody here. Tavon's still getting paid. And he's got to prove himself to get that extra money. And then hopefully after that, if he does, you know, it'll justify keeping him around a little bit longer. But, and then like you mentioned, trust in McVay, we not me. You know, McVay sees something in him and he sees a way that we'll be able to utilize him. He knows that Sammy left. He knows what he's dealing with and seeing this evolution of how his offense is going to look going into this next season. But he sees a position for him. And I know if they have this deal going on, he's going to make something for him.
Yeah. And, you know, as we're talking money and saving money and wide receiver position, I don't know if this got a lot of pub and a lot of press kind of thrown around. For those that you don't know, I actually just had a trip to Chicago, so I was doing a bunch of things with family, and my cousin actually sent this to me, but I didn't see it so much on Twitter feed around Rams Nation. But one of our favorite players, Robert Woods, was in line for a $200,000 bonus for reaching 800 receiving yards. So when it came to week 17 and they sat everybody, Robert Woods included, he ended up finishing with 781 yards. So he was, what, just 19 yards short of getting a $200,000 bonus?
Oh man.
So what the Rams did in classy fashion and Les Snead doing what Les Snead does, they renegotiated his roster bonus and added $200,019. The extra $19 was to represent those 19 yards he needed to reach that bonus. This was reported by Field Yates, but I thought that was really awesome that the Rams stepped up and saw, hey, this dude was one of the key points of why we got to, you know, owning the NFC West, getting to a home playoff game, really, you know, making some huge plays throughout the season and giving Jared Goff that consistent target. And they put that bonus there. And if he plays, I mean, obviously we know he goes and gets 19 yards if he plays in week 17, but they wanted to rest him for the playoffs. It's something that, you know, obviously was of heavy debate, but I love seeing that Les Snead went back and renegotiated and said, you know what, we're going to give you that $200,000. We're going to throw on just that little extra 19 just to kind of, to sit there and have that be the piece of the puzzle. But I thought that was really cool. We're talking money. We're talking receivers. I didn't hear much about it, so I wanted to share it with Locked On. I thought that was an awesome story.
So speaking of awesome stories, and probably part of the reason that Woods was able to get or be competing for that bonus was Jared Goff. I saw an interesting stat today, you know, also mentioning how we were going to be able to utilize Tavon Austin this next season. Do you think we could probably use him a lot more in play action? Because I saw a stat today from Pro Football Focus that said Goff led by almost 200 yards on passing yards using play action. He led the whole NFL, right behind him with Brady with 1,270 yards, but Goff had 1,446 yards. Keenum was on the list too with 1,200, and then we had Wilson and Stafford. So have your boy utilizing those receivers. You know, maybe next season we'll be having Tavon in that play action a little bit more since he's the best.
Big tip of the cap to Todd Gurley and obviously that threat, that MVP caliber season that he put together, because they were so concerned about, you know, Todd Gurley running the ball that it would kind of, you know, have some people bite. He sells the play action well, and then he gets rid of the ball. He's been making decisions and getting it downfield. And, you know, we talk about Robert Woods. That huge deep bomb to Robert Woods was off of play action from Goff's own end zone all the way down the field. So great combination. Love seeing him up there, and hopefully we can keep that going into the next year. Well, James, lots to still talk about as this draft comes closer and closer, and we start to hopefully maybe add more pieces like Adomican Sue to the D-line, and we'll start to really shift the focus of draft. We got some more draft talk coming up. We've got Austin Hall, who's our draft expert here for Locked On Rams. If you guys haven't checked out, make sure to head over to the website, lockedonrams.com. Check out some of the content that we're putting up. And then make sure to give us a follow at @LA_RamblingBear for myself, Locked On Rams, as well as Rams Podcast and at @JKroeger3, KROEGER for my main man. And give him a follow. Reach out to us. We're going to kind of get back to the Rams podcast as well and creating more content. So lots of stuff to listen to. We'll be doing this 3 to 4 to 5 days a week. It's going to be a little tricky this week. We're trying to put together a whole week of shows for you. I'm taking off to San Francisco. Guys, I'll leave plenty of Rams stickers around the city while I'm up there. But I got a work trip, so we're going to try to see if we can get you guys a couple shows in the meantime. And we'll get some good content. We'll talk about some more stuff. Feel free to reach out to me, like I said, at Gmail. It's lockdownrams@gmail.com. Send over questions, comments, concerns, and we will talk about it on the show. And we'll continue to get awesome guests on the show as well. It's something we're going to kind of make a focus to. So appreciate you guys listening, but you know what time it is. Till next time, peace.